Amen. Good morning.
Well, turn in your Bibles to Mark's Gospel and chapter 12. Mark's Gospel, chapter 12 and verse 41. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put, and he watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and she put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, she put in everything she had, all she had to live on." So it's a very well-known little story, and just a couple of little sort of observations from it, really, as we think about this question of generous legacy. If we went outside and we chatted to people about legacy, most people would probably be talking to us about their wills, especially when you get to my age, or they'd be talking about the how to avoid inheritance tax, and no comment, move on rapidly, how much money they'd be leaving behind, what things they'd be leaving behind, and the families would be working out what they were going to get, maybe, and how unfair it was, and why should the grandchildren or the great-grandchildren get anything, and they should have it all. Maybe that would be some of the conversation that would take place over this question of legacy. But more broadly, and what I want us to think about this morning is about lasting impact. What are you going to leave behind after you've gone? What are you going to hand down through the generations, and what difference can we make through that period of time in our lives? And this little story is fascinating. A couple of things about it. First thing is that it says Jesus sat down opposite the place where they were, and he watched. And the implication in the text of watching is an intense gaze. He wasn't a casual, you know, sit down with a coffee and I'll have 2 minutes quiet and peace before I go on to something else. It was a studied look. He was watching with intent about what people were doing and what people were giving. And the rich would come into that context, into where there'd be a variety of places to give. And they, some of them would actually have an announcer with them. They would have someone that would come along and say, so-and-so is about to give, and they would state the actual amount that someone was about to give, because they were out to make an impact. They were out to impress. In our day, they'd have put it on social media. It would have been all over the place on Instagram and everything else about how much they were about to give and the difference they were about to make. And Jesus watches. And Jesus does the same today. He watches us. He watches what we give, not just in offerings, but in time and prayer and love and care and attention. Jesus watches to see the generosity of our heart and whether we will live beyond ourselves, whether we will live outside of ourselves, whether we will live for the good of others, whether we will make a difference in the lives of other people. And this poor widow comes and she gives her 2 cents. The word "might" actually has an interesting meaning in the original Greek, not just as a reference to a specific coin or whatever, but it actually, as a root word, it means a tiny thing. A tiny thing. And that was my title, really. And my question, will you give a tiny thing? And the woman comes and she gives a tiny thing, but she gives out of her need. She gives everything that she has. The Message version, actually, of that verse says that when Jesus evaluates her heart and her giving, that what she gave was worth more than all of the others put together. Because Jesus looks at the heart. He looks at the giving. And the challenge of our day and the challenge of every day in every situation is actually that when we look at our own lives, we look at our own needs, maybe we look at our own finances, our own time, our abilities or whatever, actually the temptation is to go, I can't afford, but tomorrow or maybe next year. And the challenge is that often those times don't come, and God actually calls us to give and to sow and to share and to invest in the time when we can least afford it. And often he challenges us to give of everything that we have. Excuse me. That's the result of falling in that jolly canal in Venice. Yes. That's a little side story. I'll give you 30 seconds of my little stupidity. It was my wife's birthday, and so we went to Venice for a few days, and I'd got a gondola sorted out for her birthday. And she stepped into the gondola, and the guy reached out his hand to help me get across, and I put my foot on the gondola, and the whole thing moved because it wasn't tethered, and I went straight down in the canal. It's a couple of minutes before I could see the funny story. And she said, you'll get a story out of that. You'll get a sermon illustration out of that, won't you? Got nothing to do with anything, but yeah, there you go. A sneeze. That's my excuse. And Jesus looks and he calls us to give. And you know it's not because Jesus the Father is in need. Do you realise that actually the call to give is the opens the pathway for increased... Excuse me, there must be something. Is the increased pathway for also for God to pour into your life. Do you know that when we withhold, we're actually doing our own lives a disservice? Because it is God's pathway of blessing. And it's not the reason to give to get... But when you seek first the kingdom, everything else is sorted. And this widow gives of what she has, what she can't afford, and she gives everything that she has. It's a small amount. It's a tiny thing. And Jesus evaluates her gift, and he says, the poor widow, notice she wasn't just a widow, she's a poor widow. And in the period of time that Jesus is talking, the poor were not commanded to give. There was no expectation on the poor. There was no compulsion. There was no rule that said, right, you're a widow, you must give this amount or that amount or the other. This is done out of the generosity of her heart. She is not only a widow, she is a poor widow. There's also nothing in the story afterwards that says actually someone came outside of the temple afterwards and said, oh, you've given two mites. Here's 500 quid. There's no story like that. Whether that happened or not, not the point. The point is, she gave out of her need. She gave out of the generosity of her heart. She gave everything that she had. Staggering generosity. This widow, this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given. And a couple of weeks ago, we buried my wife's mum, Alice. Alice was 92. She'd done well. And Delphine's dad, Stephen, had died about 10 months earlier, so both parents gone within a year. And we had the funeral about 10 days ago. And it was amazing to hear. Alice never had a sort of well-paid job or career or whatever. There's about 50 different things she did, largely for about 6 weeks at a time. And then she moved on. Nothing dramatic like that. There's no great story. There's no great achievement, it appears, from Alice's life. But at the funeral, the children stood up and they talked about their nan. Very brave. And they said how their nan had prayed with them. How their nan, even from young age, read Bible stories for them. How their nan was invested in the daily parts of their lives. How she loved them and cared for them, and how she led them to Jesus. And there were carers also. For the last 3 or 4 years, Stephen and Alice had carers coming in on a daily kind of basis. And there were about 8 of them. And when Alice was in hospital, they would come in their own time, unpaid, to visit Alice. And they were all over the place. Now, this was their profession. This was their job. You know, they saw people in these situations every day of their lives. But they're sitting in this funeral, streaming. And we talked to them afterwards, and a couple of the ladies, it was their business, and she said, oh, yeah, I started my business. And when I used to come and see Alice used to always ask about my business. And she prayed for my business, and she prayed for me before I left. And she said, I actually got more from Alice than actually I gave to Alice. And Stephen, her husband, Delphine's dad, my wife's dad, he had a busy career in London, but when he came back to Newport Pagnell, he was leading the Sunday school in his earlier years, and the what we used to call VBS. Does that mean anything to anybody? Yeah, Vacation Bible School. In the holidays, he only had 5 weeks a year, and there were people in that funeral that were Christians because Stephen led Sunday school. And because he sowed his life and the little bit of free time that he did have into those children. Will you give a little thing? What are you going to leave behind? Alice and Stephen, their race is run. The journey's done. But actually, there are people now who are Christians. There are people whose lives are different because they have left a legacy. They've left something behind. I've told, I'm sure, you before, but I want to highlight something different out of the story of my own family experience, how my great-grandfather was a footballer and an alcoholic, and I made the Arsenal joke here before, so I won't do it again. And how that, as an alcoholic, he was dragged off the streets, pulled off the streets on a Saturday night. The Sally Army guys sobered him up, and he became a Christian. And every single member of my family, without exception, has been born again from my great-grandfather downwards. One of the... I'm going to try and do this without cracking up. The worship stuff has had me in tears all morning, so... And, you know, one of the greatest joys of my heart is now to watch my children sharing the love of Jesus with my grandchildren. There is nothing better. So my daughter has two children now. She has been absolutely crackers. She's just come back from Australia. She took two little ones on a plane to Australia to see my son who's out there. And I said, Abby, you are mad, you are bonkers, but she's done it. And I think the other passengers on the plane are probably suing the airline for lack of sleep. But she came back via Doha, 52 hours from Sydney, because the plane was rerouted and cancelled and all this, and they were the last plane out before the Iraqi airspace closed. Lord help us. But to hear her read the story and the little books, a six-month-old, a nine-month-old, a two-year-old, about the love of Jesus for her and for them. It's priceless. And I guess to, you know, you are a lovely family church, and I'm probably going to talk to these guys for a few minutes more than I'm going to talk to you lot, but, and that's all right. But our legacy, what do we leave behind? I want to encourage you beautiful parents to sow into the lives of your children. You know, there is the world is full of remarkable opportunities, and I want to encourage you just to think like mad, particularly about careers and choices that you make, because so often it's very easy to chase promotion and position and more money and status and bigger house and faster car and nicer clothes and all these kind of things. And all of those things come at a cost. There's nothing wrong with any of them per se, but it's what they cost you. My degree is, you probably work out, I have no theological qualification whatsoever. It's incredibly clear. My degree is in economics. And in economics, we have a concept called opportunity cost. And it means if you have X, it means you can't have Y. And guys, sometimes those opportunities, those career steps, sometimes they're right, sometimes they're good. But please think and pray and consider and weigh up what it's going to cost you. Is it going to cost you time? Is it going to cost you stress? Is it going to cost you pressure? Is it going to put pressure on your marriage and your children and your family? Is it going to rob you of bedtime? Because one of the greatest things you can leave behind is a family that loves each other, a family that loves God, and your children have their own choices. You know? You can't guarantee anything there. God has given them free will. But you can love and serve, and you can invest, and you can pray. And you can give your children something called time. There's a myth in our culture. It's called quality time. It's a load of tosh. There is no such thing as quality time. There is only time. And when your kids need you, and when your kids want to talk, it's when you need to be there. You can't always make it happen. But they're not always ready to talk and share when you're ready. And when it's your 10-minute slot. And, you know, there is so much that is going on. And the greatest legacy, in 20 years' time, when your children grow up, you won't remember the car that you had. It'll have rusted. When you get to your 60s, you won't be so bothered about how high you got in the career and how big your office was. But you will care about seeing your kids. You will care about how they grow, the people they become, whether they know Jesus, the people that they meet, the families that they go on and produce, and that is legacy. Don't live for today alone. The choices that you and I make today impact the rest of our lives, impact their lives. Legacy, what we leave behind. Alice and Stephen, there's a rich history. There's also lots of opportunities, little ones that come our way, little things, tiny little things. That widow, I don't know if she ever knew that Jesus saw her. There's no reference that she knew. There's no reference actually that she knew that anything that she did made any kind of difference. There's no reference, I've said to you before, that Sally Army officer who saw my great-grandfather saved, we don't know his name, we've got no idea at all. Yesterday I was talking with a pastor in Corby, a man called Damien. And Damien was telling me a little bit of the history of his life and his own salvation. So they now lead a church, a thriving church in Corby. That church has planted another church in Barnsley. It's planted another church on a new estate in the Corby area. And he showed me a picture. He showed me a really funny picture of a lady from about, I don't know, 70 years ago, something like that. She was in a hat. She had the funniest clothes on. She looked like the stereotype of what we used to think a Christian looked like. She was the lady who started Corby Baptist Church. And in Corby Baptist Church, 30 years later, a young man brought another young man to church, and despite being completely unchurched, he found Jesus in Corby Baptist Church. That man was Damien. Damien then went on to have a sense of call from God to go back to that place in Corby to plant a church and to see lives changed and see other churches planted, because that little lady started Corby Baptist Church. Legacy. What has she left behind? Did she know? Had she met Damien? Never. But that's part of her legacy. That's what she's left behind. That's what my great-grandfather has left behind. And you know what? It keeps on going. And every generation now, we have four grandchildren, and it's growing. I don't know, by the end of the service, there might be another one. I have no idea. But the legacy is growing and growing. Because that one man shared the gospel with my great-grandfather. And God places opportunities every day, every week, every month in front of you and I to sow a little seed, to give what might feel like a tiny thing, to give what might be feel like a mite, the smallest of the coins that exist. It might be a prayer, it might be a conversation, it might be a hug, it might be a gift you make to Ukraine. Those are the things that leave legacy, that leave things that last. The stuff rusts. The positions go. People won't give a monkey's about how many hours you spent in that flipping office. Lives changed. Lives impacted. I don't know if I told you the story of Palmindo. You have to forgive me. It's called over 60 syndrome, if I've told you. But I met this young man a few years ago, Palmindo. Palmindo grew up in a Buddhist home. He was a drug addict. He was involved in gangs and knife crime and all this kind of stuff. And after being arrested, his parents threw him out of the house. And he lived on a park bench. And after about 3 months on the park bench, he was going to commit suicide. And he walked towards the train station. And he said, I prayed. He said, I don't know who I prayed to, Allah, Buddha, Jesus. He said, I had no idea, but I called out to somebody, if you love me, you've got to tell me. And he walked past a guy on the way to the train station to throw himself in front of a train. And he met a man, and a man walked up to him and he said, you do know Jesus loves you, don't you? That man's name? No clue. Did he ever meet that man again? No. But that young man, Palmindo, did not go and throw himself under a train. He gave his life to Jesus on that spot. He never met that man again. It was a 10-second conversation. Palmindo now has been on our church planting course. He's been trained in an ark church in southeast London to plant a church. He's loving Jesus. He is an evangelist. They'd worked with his gang, had had some doing somehow connected with the mafia in Europe. And he'd had these various dealings, and he went over to Europe and he shared the gospel with these mafia guys. The mafia chief or whatever in this particular area pulled a gun on him. He pointed the gun at him and he fired the gun in his face. But the gun jammed. And the mafia guy apparently looked at the gun, he pointed it up there, he fired it and it went off. Why? Why? Because one man took that opportunity to make a difference. Do you know Jesus loves you? Does he know Palminda's story? No. Does Palminda ever meet him again? No. But he left a legacy. Does that widow know? Does that widow know that the legacy that she left behind from sowing those two little mites was actually that 2,000 years later, God is using that by his Holy Spirit to change my life and to change your life? That's ridiculous. That's legacy. And God has opportunities for all of us, financially, time, with our children, with our grandchildren, with the people in church, with people in your office and at work and all over the place, to make a difference and to change people's lives. And will you do a tiny thing? Will you give a tiny thing? Will you make a difference? Will we give out of beyond ourselves into the lives of others? And you know what?
God is incredible at multiplying. The little thing you sow, the stuff you sow into Pete and Ukraine, God will take and multiply. Leave a legacy. Make a difference. Something that outlasts you and I. So, Lord, we offer our little mites, our tiny somethings, our time, our finance, our prayers, our friendship, our words, our support. We offer them to you. We know that you're watching. We know that also you're a God who multiplies. You are a God who takes loaves and fishes and feeds thousands. Help us, Father. Help us to leave legacy. Help us to understand the lasting impact that you design our lives to have. Help us to live like that. Help us to live beyond ourselves and to give what we have for your glory. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Alistair. Really appreciate that.